From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, April 22nd, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Attorneys for Oxford County Sheriff Christopher Wainwright made their case at a hearing in Augusta on Monday that Wainwright should not be removed from his job. Oxford County commissioners say they're concerned about a pattern of troubling behavior by Wainwright in recent years and are asking Governor Janet Mills to remove him. Caitlin Bedayan has more.
The commissioners sent their complaint to Mills in February, outlining their concerns and requesting Wainwright's removal. In response, Mills appointed former Maine Supreme Court Justice Donald Alexander to oversee a hearing on the matter and report to her with a recommendation. In opening statements before Alexander, an attorney for the commissioners, Amy Dietrich, cited three incidents in which Sheriff Wainwright allegedly asked a deputy to fix a ticket, improperly sold guns from evidence, and oversaw two school resource officers who lacked proper certification.
We are here today because the Oxford County Board of Commissioners, between November 22nd and January 2024, became aware of several concerning incidents of what they believe to be illegal and unethical conduct by the sheriff in the performance of his professional duties.
The first involves a traffic citation issued by Deputy Timothy Fournier in 2022. Fournier says Wainwright later asked him to be lenient on the violator and, quote, make it right. After Fournier reported the incident up his chain of command, Wainwright called him and said that he, Wainwright, could shred any ticket he wants and that he has no boss. Wainwright's attorney, Jonathan Berry, says his client does not dispute the incident and has apologized publicly and to Fournier. The second incident centers on two school resource officers working for Wainwright who were found to lack proper certification. Berry contends that Wainwright was unaware of the issue as the officers were hired before he was elected sheriff.
Sheriff Wainwright, in furtherance of the efficiency of his office and administration of his duties, discovered the problem. He fixed the problem. That does not make him guilty of the original sins of others.
The final issue raised by the commissioners is Wainwright's decision to sell firearms from the department's evidence room on two occasions without their approval, which was revealed by news coverage last year.
News reports at the time reported that the firearms had been sold privately to a dealer without conducting an auction.
But Berry argues that Wainwright hasn't broken any laws or department policy.
The evidence will also demonstrate that this practice is perfectly consistent with the historical practices of the Oxford County Sheriff's Office.
After the hearing, Alexander will make an advisory report to the governor, who has sole authority to decide whether to take any action against Wainwright. Berry says he believes that in this case, the governor should not have to use her executive authority, as he put it, to, quote, usurp the will of the voters.
And here's why. Sheriff Wainwright respectfully submits that he has, in fact, and in law, honored his oath of office, faithfully and efficiently discharged the duties imposed upon him by law to the best of his ability.
If Mills removes Wainwright, she would appoint a new sheriff to serve in the position for the remainder of the term until the next election in 2026. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Bedayan.
The U.S. Attorney's Office has charged a Passadumkeag man with illegally manufacturing and distributing marijuana. Shisun Go is the first person charged in a new investigation from the Department of Justice looking into illegal grow operations in Maine. Nick Song has more.
Officers from the Penobscot County Sheriff's Department say they conducted a raid on Guo's home in late February, where they seized 40 pounds of marijuana grown without a state license. Authorities say Guo's utility bills revealed that his monthly power consumption equaled what the average U.S. household uses in an entire year. At his detention hearing on Monday afternoon, a federal judge ordered Guo be released on a $5,000 bond. A statement from the U.S. Attorney for the District of Maine says there are approximately 100 active illegal grow operations in the state, some of whom may have ties to foreign criminal enterprises. Guo is a naturalized U.S. citizen originally born in China. He has yet to be formally indicted by a grand jury and could face up to 20 years if convicted. Guo's legal counsel says his client denies all allegations made against him. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nick Song.
Several environmental groups have filed suit against the Maine Department of Environmental Protection for failing to slash carbon emissions as required by state law. They say the DEP and the Board of Environmental Protection haven't adopted a single policy to cut transportation emissions in the 5 years since Maine's climate law was adopted. Susan Sharon has more.
Transportation accounts for the biggest source of Maine's carbon emissions, and Maine's climate law, passed as an emergency measure in 2019, established mandatory emissions reductions. They must be slashed by 45% by 2030 and 80% by 2050. Both the Department of Environmental Protection and the Board of Environmental Protection are supposed to pass rules to ensure compliance. But Emily Green of the Conservation Law Foundation says that hasn't happened.
The board has had, over the last couple years, three big opportunities to cut emissions specifically from the transportation sector. It has considered a rule that would have brought more clean trucks into our state two different times and rejected it both times. It has most recently rejected a rule that would have ensured that Mainers could access more clean cars.
Green says without additional commitments, the state won't meet the 2030 target. And that's why her organization, the Sierra Club, and Maine Youth Action have filed suit. They're asking the court to set a deadline this year to get new rules adopted. A spokesperson for the DEP said he could not comment on pending litigation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
The state of Maine will receive nearly $9 million in federal infrastructure funds to preserve saltwater marshes and repair aging culverts. The announcement comes on Earth Day and in the aftermath of three severe winter storms that Mainers are still recovering from. Nicola Grisco reports.
The Maine projects are among 30 coastal restoration awards announced by the Biden administration Monday. Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree was part of the group of federal and state officials who turned out at the Scarborough Marsh to celebrate the awards.
We've really started to learn that marshes aren't something that we just go to visit, go for a hike, take a canoe, but these are the places that protect our critical coastal habitats, and it's very important for us to protect them.
The Scarborough Land Trust says more than $1 million will fund restoration and conservation projects at the marsh and to mitigate sea level rise. Nearly $5 million will improve fish passage and replace aging culverts in Brunswick and Perry. And in Wells, nearly $3 million will conserve 18 acres of coastal marshland and rebuild a municipal bridge damaged in recent flooding. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicola Grisco.
Meanwhile, Maine is receiving $62 million in federal funding as part of the Biden administration's Solar for All grants. The grants announced on Monday in honor of Earth Day are intended to expand accessibility to clean energy for low and moderate income Americans. Maine will use its share of $5.5 billion to facilitate single-family and multifamily on-site solar programs and support cooperatively owned community solar. White House National Climate Advisor Ali Zaidi says 900,000 households will see benefits through the Solar for All program.
Not just solar for some folks, but really making sure that we're opening up a market where everybody, no matter their zip code or their economic background, can tap into the savings opportunity that clean energy represents.
Maine's Energy Office will also use some of the funding to expand workforce development opportunities, support siting and permitting, and overcome interconnection challenges. New federal rules announced by the Biden administration on Monday establish minimum staffing requirements for nursing homes. Brenda Gallant, Maine's long-term care ombudsman, says nursing homes here must already meet similar state-required staffing levels. But Gallant says the federal standards will require that a registered nurse be on duty 24/7, which she supports.
The importance of adequate staffing cannot be underestimated. It's really a critical part of care and quality of life for residents.
But the Maine Healthcare Association, which represents nursing homes, calls the new rules deeply troubling. President Angela Westhoff says it's an unfunded mandate that ignores the current worker shortage and could force some nursing homes to close. The Biden administration says the requirements will be introduced in phases and rural facilities will have more time to comply. And the Center for Biological Diversity has filed a petition with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to put the salt marsh sparrow on the endangered species list. The center's Stephanie Caroe says the salt marsh sparrow only breeds in salt marshes in the Northeast and has been in rapid decline since the late 90s.
We've lost 87% of the population during that time. The main threat to these birds is sea level rise, but also coastal development.
The Fish and Wildlife Service is already reviewing the status of the salt marsh sparrow, but Caroe says she hopes the petition will speed up the process. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning, we'll have a wrap-up of all of the activity during the latest legislative session. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening.